Oh, yes. Yes, that's your answer. That's your answer to everything.
Tattoo it on your forehead. Your revolution is over, Mr. Lebowski. Condolences. The bomb's lost. My advice to you is to do what your parents did. Get a job, sir. The bombs will always lose. Do you hear me, Lebowski?
All right. Welcome back into Overtime here on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville, of course. My name is Rick Butler, coming to you today with our fearless leader, Tanner Carson, out on the injury list right now, on a little injury reserve, but should make his triumphant comeback soon. AJ Cook to my left, Cole McCormick in front of me. Tennessee baseball right now, what is going on? We're only in the top of the fourth. Camden Sewell started out the game, let up two solo bombs in the first two innings, gets taken out, replaced by Chase Silseth, and then Chase Silseth lets up a three-run homer. Falls are losing.
Not ideal. Not ideal.
Oh, I would not say that is ideal in the slightest. But you know what is ideal?
What?
Your recruiting segment.
Oh, yeah, baby. Let's go.
One of my favorite parts. So, with no further ado, Cole McCormick giving us the latest news on a little bit of Tennessee cruiting.
Okay, thank you, Rick. Let's see. Tonight we will start with, let me get his name correct, Delphin X Castillo.
All name team.
He really is. Mr. Castillo has received an offer from Tennessee. He tweets, "Blessed to receive my third offer from the University of Tennessee. Hashtag volunteers." Mr. Castillo is from Osceola High School down there in Kissimmee, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
In the 2021 class, 6'5", 335 pounds, an absolute unit.
That's a big boy.
Big boy. Offensive lineman down there at Osceola. No rankings at the moment. No predictions at the moment. But good to see Tennessee getting in on the 2021 class and offering a grown man that doesn't graduate high school for another 2 years.
Get in with them early.
Yeah, it's always good to see. Those are the kind of guys that we need, so good to see the staff is working. Next, we go to Darrell Demesme, however you say his last name. He has also received an offer from Tennessee. He tweets, "Blessed to receive my first offer from the University of Tennessee, .. just the beginning."
First offer?
Yeah, wow. Tennessee first offer. He's out of New Orleans, Louisiana, down at McMain High School. 5'11", 167-pound wide receiver. And let's see, what year is he? 2022, so even further back, 2022 class. No rankings at the moment, no predictions at the moment. And as he said in his tweet, Tennessee is his first offer, so no more offers to report. Good for him, good on his first offer. You never know what could come in the 2022 class. He could be a top guy, but we'll just have to wait and see.
He's got to be fast, right?
You would think.
5'11", how much? 165?
Like 173.
I want to go fast.
Yeah. So, 2020 guy gets an offer from the Vols. We will go to the hardwood momentarily for these next few. Chet Holmgren. That sounds like a guy that would go to Duke.
Any relation to Mike?
I don't know. I don't know. But Chet Holmgren has received an offer from Tennessee basketball. He tweets, "Beyond blessed to have received an offer from the University of Tennessee. Mr. Holmgren is from Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Minnesota?
At Minnehaha Academy." I believe it's how you say that. Minnehaha. Minnehaha, I guess.
That's how I read it.
That's a freaking
Minnehaha Academy.
That's a funny name.
He's an absolute beast. A center in the 2021 class. 7 feet tall. 190 pounds. He's like a
Wait, what? Seven feet tall, God.
And 100, not even 200 pounds. He is all skin and bones out there in the middle
this
of your defense.
Over a foot taller than me and like maybe 30, 40 pounds.
Yeah, so he is a walking stick. He really is.
Jeez.
Kind of like Russell.
In a way, but add another foot.
Sorry, Russ.
Let's see here. 247 Sports absolutely loves him. Currently ranked as the 13th overall player in the class of 2021, number one center in the class, and number one player out of the state of Minnesota. Current crystal ball prediction sit out, of course, 100% to Minnesota. Other offers to go along with his new Tennessee offer come from Minnesota, of course, Purdue, Texas, Baylor, and Cal, to just name a few. He has over 20 offers, so he will probably have his pick of the litter.
Does Purdue just sniff out seven-footers?
I guess. Yeah. I guess. They always have at least one.
Quite the talent.
Who was the dude Haas? In the NCAA tournament this year? Big boy. UCF.
Oh,
you're talking about Taco Falls.
Yeah. Taco Falls.
Taco.
Yeah. Another all-name team.
Yeah, he really is. Okay, next. We stay with Tennessee basketball. Prince Algibe has also been given a offer to Tennessee, and he is teammates with Chet Holmgren. He is also from Minneapolis, Minnesota, and also attends Minnehaha
Big
Academy.
Big day for Minnehaha Academy.
Yeah. He is in the 2022 class. However, he is a forward in the class, 6'6", and they don't list his weight.
Is there an enlarged Haha Academy?
That's a good question. We'll have to do our research on that. I don't know.
Mega Haha Academy.
Mega. Yeah.
Big Haha. I don't know.
Big Haha.
Grande Haha.
Those guys really get the
the
last laugh.
They really.
Those guys are 7 foot six.
Yeah. They're like 8 feet tall. They're
120 pounds.
Actual giants.
They got taller and skinnier.
Yeah. But Mr. Prince.
Laugh.
That's right.
I will just call him. He has no weight listed. Don't know how heavy he is, but he is 6 feet and 6 inches tall. No rankings at the moment. No predictions at the moment. To go along with his new Tennessee offer, he holds other offers from Florida, Illinois, Iowa, Iowa State, and Maryland. So congratulations to the two Minnehaha Academy players.
Mm.
Next, we go back to football. Noah Bowden has also received an offer from Tennessee. He tweets, thankful to have received an offer from the university. Threw me off.
Uh-oh.
From Tennessee University.
I don't want him.
Classic TU.
Yeah. Hashtag go Vols. Mr. Bowden, let's see, from Middle Village, New York, at Christ the King Regional School, pro-style quarterback in the 2021 class. Though he does not know the name of our great university, he's a large man, 6'4", 216-pound quarterback.
Big boy.
No rankings at the moment, no crystal ball predictions at the moment. Other offers for Mr. Bowden come from Baylor, Cincinnati, Georgia Tech, Kentucky, and Morgan State, whoever that is. Next, Javon Nelson has also been given a scholarship to Tennessee. He tweets, so blessed to receive an offer from the University of Tennessee at Knoxville. So the guy before him doesn't know the name of us. And then the next guy knows that there's more than one University of Tennessee campus.
Man.
It's polar opposites when it comes to these guys. But we love them all. And we give them all a shot.
How do you feel about people saying UTK instead of UT?
It doesn't really bother. It kind of did when I was younger. But after being a student at UT, I mean, I know people that go to UTC. Mm-hmm. I know people that go to UT Martin, the health center over in Memphis. So, I mean, I get it now. But, I mean, when you say UT, everybody knows what that means.
Fair enough.
But UTK, it's whatever.
Fair enough.
Javon Nelson, though, he is from Murfreesboro, Tennessee, in-state guy over at Riverdale High School. Defensive end in the 2021 class, 6'3", 260 pounds. Let's see, no rankings at the moment. No crystal ball predictions at the moment. To go along with his new Tennessee offer, he holds other offers from Charlotte, Georgia, Kentucky, Louisville, and Mississippi State, to just name a few. Next, we move on to Sam Brown. Mr. Brown has also been given an offer from Tennessee. He tweets, blessed to receive an offer from the University of Tennessee, hashtag go Vols. Mr. Brown is from Bloomingdale, Georgia, at New Hampstead High School. He's a wide receiver in the 2020 class, 6'1 and a half, 185 pounds. Three-star guy, according to 247 Sports, 160th overall receiver in the 2020 class, and 88th player out of the state of Georgia. Other offers include Colorado, East Carolina, FIU, Georgia State, and Kentucky. What? Did Kentucky get you?
I guess.
Kentucky. Kentucky.
Wasn't all the things I was expecting to hear.
Okay.
When I was casually paying attention.
Kentucky.
Kentucky. Kentucky. That's a good one, too. Okay, we move on. Brian Thomas Jr., a.k.a. Beezy on Twitter, has also received an offer from Tennessee. He tweets, blessed to receive an offer from the University of Tennessee, hashtag go Vols. Mr. Thomas Jr. is from Walker, Louisiana, at Walker High School. It doesn't list what class he is in, so I am unsure about that. No rankings at the moment. No predictions at the moment. And it looks like Tennessee, no, they are not his only offer. He holds other offers from Auburn, Louisiana, South Alabama, Miami, and Washington State and Alabama, just to name a few. And Georgia and Florida. Okay, so wow. So many more than I thought. So good to see another big wide receiver gets an offer from the Vols. And then a few more for tonight. I saved by far the best for last. You've heard about these guys many times. I've talked about them all many times, and I will talk about them once again if I can scroll down here fast enough. Let's see here.
Don't panic. Don't panic.
I don't panic.
Cool under pressure.
I don't panic. Okay, here we go. In-state guy, one of the top targets for Tennessee in the 2020 class, top priority guy, top 100 guy. You know him and you love him. At least I do. His name is Jay Hardy. He's out of McCallie School down in Chattanooga.
It's McCallie.
McCallie?
That's where I graduated from.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, sorry for butchering the name.
Okay. You're not the McCallie. First to call it McCallie. Yeah.
McCallie School.
Yeah.
Okay. Out of Chattanooga, defensive end in the 2020 class. Many people have thought he is, in a way, a Tennessee lock. Since he is an in-state guy, he wants to play closer to home. But he has big news released this morning. Mr. Hardy tweets, I've decided to open up my recruitment from 12 to 16 schools because of recent interest from schools. I'll be releasing this June 17th. So, June 17th, top guy in the state, top Tennessee target, will be releasing his top schools. But, Mr. Hardy, let me give you his dimensions. He's a defensive end in the 2020 class out of Chattanooga. As I said, 6'4", 270 pounds, an absolute unit coming off the edge.
Absolute unit.
247 Sports Composite Rankings has him as a four-star prospect, 86th overall player in the country, fourth overall strong side defensive end, fourth overall player, in the state of Tennessee. Surprisingly enough, no crystal ball predictions at the moment. He holds offers from everywhere, over 30 offers, Tennessee, Alabama, Georgia, Kentucky, Oklahoma, Ole Miss, everybody you want to be in with for this guy. In just over a month, we will know his top 16 schools, and he has said he wants to announce, I believe, during his season this fall. So in a couple months, we should know his fate. So keep an eye on that.
If I'm not mistaken, I think he got an offer from Ohio State earlier this
week. He did.
Week,
yeah, know? He did. I saw that. I think yesterday, actually, or maybe this weekend, yeah.
Yeah.
So they're probably one of the four being added.
And Michigan.
Yes.
Michigan. Everybody's after him.
Yeah, I mean, he's a big-time guy, big-time talent. Tennessee would be lucky to land him for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. We go back to the hardwood. We've talked about him many times. Keon Johnson, a big-time basketball recruit in the 2020 class. He has released his top three schools today. He released it this morning at 9:55 a.m. He tweets, just simple, final three, and then tags a bunch of people. Of course, Tennessee is in it, or I would not mention it. Mm-hmm. Along with Tennessee, Ohio State, and your reigning national champions, Virginia.
Mm.
Tennessee is still the favorite, according to 247 Sports, 100% to the Vols on those crystal ball predictions. He's a four-star guy, according to 247 Sports, 30th overall player in that 2020 class, 7th overall guard, and number one player in the state for the 2020 class, 6'5", 180 pounds, over at the Webb School in Bellbuckle, Tennessee.
Mm.
Other offers, he has many. Of course, the Vols, Vanderbilt, Virginia, Ohio State, Florida, and many more. So maybe another big fish in the next class for Coach Barnes. I mean, these are the kind of guys we're expecting him to get.
Yeah.
He's the third highest paid coach in the country.
Yeah.
You should lock down your state. Get a top 30 guy, one of the best players in the country. So this is going to be a test and a measure of what Rick Barnes can do with all that money he has going to his bank account. And then last but certainly not least.
Bring us home.
I feel like I have saved the best for last. It's not directly about Tennessee, but a Tennessee prospect. Vol Recruiting Reports on Twitter. Love their work. They tweeted out just a few hours ago, one of the top Vols prospects will be in attendance at the Nashville opening this weekend, and they're talking about Paris Johnson Jr. Mr. Johnson tweeted Nashville, Tennessee this weekend, hashtag get open, and tagged the opening. Mr. Johnson is the number one offensive tackle in the 2020 class and a longtime Tennessee target. 7th overall player in the country, number one OT, as I said, and number one player out of the state of Ohio. He has been an Ohio State commit since last summer, so almost a year. He's an absolute unit. 6'7.5", 295 pounds going into his senior year of high school out of Cincinnati, Ohio, over at the Princeton School. It's not expected for him to flip, but Tennessee has been coming after him fairly hard. So if he does, you know, Tennessee would be lucky to have him. Current crystal ball prediction sit at 62% to, of course, Ohio State, 25% to Michigan State, and 12% to Notre Dame. As I said, I would be shocked if he actually does flip commitments. He has been to campus, I know, of at least once, I believe, another time. So he is interested in the Vols to an extent. But maybe Tennessee can make you know, make an impression on him this week, since he will be in state. I'm sure the staff will be over there checking him out, try to recruit him a little bit more. So might be something to watch over the weekend. You never know. I just wanted to pass that along to you. So if on Monday we hear something, hey, you have me to thank. You have me to thank. And that will conclude Tuesday edition of the Recruiting Update.
I mean,
thank you guys.
I mean, professional as always.
Consummate professional.
You can't get any better news. That's what the people expect. That's what they got. Cole.
Yeah.
Art Green.
Yeah.
Four-star ranking comes down today.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
I think it is absolutely incredible he got that high of a ranking. When he committed yesterday to Tennessee, he had no rankings. It seemed like nobody knew who he was or had ever heard of him.
Honestly, and he then jumps up to a four-star.
And then about an hour or two after the show last night, after me and Tanner spoke on him, he's a four-star and he's the number two overall JUCO prospect in the country, right behind current Tennessee commit Jordan Davis. Mm. So Tennessee has the top two JUCO commits in this year's class. Don't know if that's a good or bad thing. But yeah, I think it's interesting. He's a big-time talent, the kind of body that Jeremy Pruitt wants in his defensive backs. So he could be very successful.
Could be.
That's right. All right. We're going to hit a quick break right here. On the other side of the break, two big things. Number one, some potentially earth-shattering, game-breaking, world-ending, or world-building news coming out of Chicago. About the NBA lottery. Stick around for that. You don't want to miss it. It's going to be good. Mm. Also, could the world's greatest video game be potentially making a comeback?
Don't do it to me, Rick!
Oh, man.
In the NCAA football series?
Let's go.
Could it be coming back?
Don't do it!
Stick around and find out on the other side of the break. It's overtime!
Don't do it!
Disability Advantage.
All righty, back on overtime, coming from the Fan Run Studios, Rick, AJ, and Cole coming at you, currently 7:21 p.m., so we have about 40 minutes left in the show, about an hour and 10 minutes until the NBA lottery. Now, we've already discussed the NBA lottery. We've already discussed it in full. The teams, the picks, what's going on. But.
Big but.
But. There might have been some groundbreaking news that has just been revealed via the world's greatest website, Twitter.
Okay.
Yeah, we didn't tell you. No, you were out of the room for this.
I had to use the facilities.
This comes from a guy named John Fox. All right, and John Fox only has 601 followers, but
I trust him.
He has video evidence. All right.
Ooh.
Oh yeah.
Here's what the tweet says.
I am here for it.
Here's what the tweet says, with the video evidence also corroborating.
I don't know if I'm ready.
Confirmed. Just watch the video.
For what it's worth, just caught the ESPN rehearsal for tonight's NBA draft lottery. Spoiler alert. Maybe. Rachel Nichols and Mark Tatum announced Phoenix as the winner. Hopefully, this isn't a sign of what's to come. Number one, Phoenix Suns. Number two, the Dallas Mavericks.
Oh!
Number three, the Chicago Bulls. Number four, the Cleveland Cavaliers. And number five, the New York Knicks.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Wow.
Now.
What does it all mean?
Reckless speculation here.
Oh, that's what
a lot
for.
Of it. A lot of it.
That's what I live for.
But is it reckless speculation? I bring to you 2016.
Mm.
I take you back 3 years to 2016 on draft day. Mutombo himself, he tweeted out a picture. Not a picture. Well, a picture, a video. He tweeted out something, right? At 4:36 p.m. Eastern time, a mere 4 hours before the draft, of the rehearsal saying the Philadelphia 76ers got the number one overall pick. Fast forward 4 years. Oh, also, they did. Fast forward 4 years. He says Phoenix, Dallas, and Chicago all come away with 1, 2, and 3.
Ooh. I'm sitting here watching this video.
Yeah.
Got the sound.
Well, it's off right now. But how did no one see this guy standing right in the middle of the door with his camera?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, there's even a stewardess right there.
It's weird.
It's odd. It's odd.
If you want to see the video, I retweeted it on my Twitter account. It's at Rick_Butler, R-I-C. But yeah, there's like a security guard right there.
She's on her phone.
With her back turned, just chilling on her phone, and this guy's just walking around all casually.
Yeah, I mean, there's other people.
Old John Fox.
Like, there's other people walking by, too, and nobody says anything. Is he just like the smoothest criminal ever?
Yeah.
John Fox?
Smooth.
John Fox, NBA.
I mean,
New Look Knicks.
Wow, okay.
Just caught the ESPN rehearsal for tonight's NBA draft lottery.
Okay.
I'm here for the lottery conspiracy theories.
I am too.
I am so much more into the lottery at this point. I was already 100% bought in, but now I'm like over the top. Because now there's a layer of a conspiracy theory added on.
Yeah.
And I swear, if Phoenix gets the first pick, first off, I will break everything in my house. Because it means Dallas is getting the second pick. But if Dallas gets the second pick, Chicago gets the third pick, Cleveland gets 4, New York gets 5, and this was broken early.
Yeah.
That'd be wild.
I will rage.
Yeah.
Not in a bad way either.
Yeah.
I will do the Cole McCormick nonstop fist pump like this, just all night. All night until my arm falls off.
Patented.
How would you feel about Ja Morant?
Yeah, I don't even know. I think we would take RJ Barrett.
Oh.
Really?
I really do.
Oh.
Because I just feel like, you know, we traded away Dennis Smith Jr. You know, it's the Luka show in Dallas right now. You can't have another dude who's going to be the primary ball handler.
Fair.
That's why we traded Dennis in the first place.
Could you imagine all of that young talent in Phoenix if they do get that number one overall?
Booker, Zion.
Ayton.
Yeah.
I mean,
back-to-back first overall picks for Phoenix?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
I mean, littered with young talent. Will they be good next year? Probably not. I mean, the only one. What, 19 games this year?
Yeah, but still. Yeah.
All that talent. I mean, they could run the West. They could be the next Warriors in a way if they all stay there, you know, the next couple of years. You never know. This could be huge.
Is there any way that Zion isn't the first overall pick?
No.
I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, based on teams, just is there any way that you think somebody takes Ja?
No.
I think the only mix up that could be at number one is just somebody trading out from number one. I think either way,
yeah,
Zion's
okay,
going
I can
number
see that.
One. But
I think it's Zion. I think Zion's a lock.
If you disagree, if you feel like there's no way that Zion will not be the number one overall pick, if you want to talk about this conspiracy theory, because we love conspiracy theories on Overtime, if you want to talk about the lottery, anything else, go ahead and give us a call. We got open phone lines. You can be our first caller of the night. We'll give you a big ovation.
A big hello.
A big hello.
I still hope a big hello
and a mini ha-ha in case you say something funny.
I still hope a loopy Tanner calls in. I'm holding out.
Has anybody texted him?
I have not. I think he's probably knocked out.
Yeah, probably.
Can you give him a text real quick?
Sure.
Actually, we'll do that during the break. We also teased this, and I just need Cole to help me on this. Could the return of the greatest video game in history come back? I mean, we've all been there.
Yeah.
All three of us have been there.
Yes.
99% of the world has been there.
Yeah.
Likely. I'm estimating here.
You're probably on the low end.
Probably
pretty close.
Right?
Pretty
close.
Could the return of the NCAA video game series be on the comeback? Remember, the NCAA video game series canceled, the football series, that is, because the NCAA was not allowed to use the likeness of the players because they were not getting compensated financially for what EA Sports and the NCAA was making from this video game. But something might have changed today. Cole, what's the story?
Yeah. Let's see. According to ESPN, ESPN finally breaking something. They wrote an article.
Shots fired.
They wrote an article entitled NCAA Explores Compensation for Names, Likeness. They start by saying the NCAA is forming a working group to consider how its rules can be modified to allow college athletes to be compensated using their names, images, and likeness. The NCAA made it clear, however, that the group would not consider anything that could be construed as paying athletes. NCAA President Mark Emmert and the Board of Governors announced Tuesday that Big East Commissioner Val Ackerman and Ohio State Athletic Director Gene Smith will head the new federal and state legislation working group. This group will bring together diverse opinions from the membership, from presidents and commissioners to student athletes, that will examine the NCAA's position on name, image, and likeness benefits and potentially proposed rule modifications tethered to education, Ackerman said in a statement. We believe the time is ripe for these discussions and look forward to a thorough assessment of the many complexities involved in this area. The NCAA said a final report from the working group is due to the Board of Governors in October.
So basically, it's a done deal.
So in a way.
New game coming out.
Yeah. In a way, yes. Yeah,
that's what we care about.
It's happening.
In a way, yes. I found it interesting that they're going to – I want to know what kind of compensation they're talking about these players when it comes to their name, image, and likeness. But then it says they would not consider anything that could be construed as paying athletes. So what are they going to get? I mean, a bigger meal plan?
I mean, I've heard talk of, like, this might be what they end up doing, just putting it all in a place and they, whatever the players get whenever they choose to leave school or go professional or graduate, whatever comes first, they get that compensation once they're done. That's what I've seen that in places.
Okay.
I imagine the NCAA would probably end up going with, you get an extra sandwich a week.
Yeah, exactly.
Your likeness.
Yeah. Extra sub.
I don't know. I was telling y'all about this Gridiron Champions.
Yeah.
The ultimate college football.
Yeah, I've never
experience.
Even heard of that.
I haven't either.
Check it out. It's funny looking.
Huh.
It's all right. They're very, very clear that they're not going to use NCAA copyrights, which means not only can they not use player likenesses, they can't use any college logos either.
So they
basically have to make up Gridiron Champions. It's amazing.
So this is like its own little league then?
Yes, there's
a virtual league.
I think, let me see if I can find it. Yeah, 126 plus generic colleges.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Good, great.
Apparently they're going all in.
Oh my. Dude, that gnat
is
killing me.
I was about to say, is something going on over there or are y'all just losing it? Oh, I saw it.
There's a gnat.
Oh no.
Shambles.
Oh, no.
But, yeah, Gridiron Champions. Let me see if I can find exactly what their phrasing is. Yeah. The game will feature 126-plus generic colleges and universities. As we outline in the next section, the community will be able to completely customize their user experience. And they've also got, like, a Road to Glory knockoff. Like,
wow.
You gotta play your last few games in high school to get, you know, recruited to certain universities to play there. See your name in the game. Like, you can put your own face in the game.
Hey, interesting.
All right.
It's not going to be NCAA football, but it'll be next best thing.
I'm in. Yeah, so our childhood, it might be coming back, boys.
That'd be making a comeback.
Awesome. Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, we are going to keep reminiscing about our favorite NCAA moments over the break because I know it's still a game that I play in my house.
Sure.
On the other side of the commercial break, we have a birthdays. And I'll tell you what, I'm no Tanner Carson.
Uh-oh.
So I don't know what kind of grading system he gives. But I just looked through the list. 8 birthdays, dare I say, A+.
Oh!
Whoa!
How often does Tanner give an A+?
Whoa.
Like every other week?
Really?
Maybe?
I'm doing it right now.
Okay.
I don't even care.
Okay.
This is an amazing birthday, so we're going to get into the break right now so we can have as much time as we can to do this, to knock this out. Don't miss it. Mm. It's going to be good. We have some great names coming up right on the other side of the break. If you want to give us a call, 865-546-8200. You are listening to Overtime on Fan Run Radio.
The brand new Fan Run Studios of Fox.
I can play the game.
Yeah, when you hear Triple H's music, you know what time it is. It's time for the game. It's time for the birthday game. Hey, here's what we're doing today. I already said it was an A+. All right, I have a list of birthdays. I thought about condensing it down. Screw it.
Whoa.
We have nine. Whoa. We have nine birthdays.
Whoa.
We're going to get through this.
Whoa.
Every
Whoa.
One of them counts.
Okay.
All right. Here we go. I'm also doing this off the top of my head. So let's see where this goes.
Did you memorize them?
No.
Oh.
I just don't have like the information
oh.
for it.
Okay. I got you.
All right.
I got you.
Number one. She turns 25 today. She is known from a Nickelodeon TV show back
Ariana
in the day.
Grande.
No, it was one of all of our favorites.
Miranda
she was
Cosgrove.
A sister. Yes.
What?
Yeah, you were close. You were close. Come on.
Good one. Good
Here
one.
We go. Number Let's two. Go. This dude is 34. This dude is the inventor of something that we use every day.
Mark Zuckerberg.
Correct.
Yes!
Unbelievable. Number three. 29 years old. Football player. Or should I say, retired football player.
Gronk.
That's right.
Rob Gronkowski.
Oh,
what
my
is
God.
Happening
this right is incredible.
Like a blitzkrieg.
This
in
is
here.
Unbelievable.
What is going on?
Wow. Wow. Some may say this is like a blitz. Yes. Incredible.
Unbelievable.
Number four, I think. Yeah, four. Turned 74 years old today.
Margaret
Director Pernier. And creator of maybe the greatest movie franchise of all time.
George Lucas?
Yes. Hey, you got to.
I'm in trouble here.
You got to get five in a row, bro.
I'm in bad shape right now.
I don't think my brain has ever worked this fast.
Yeah, wait.
Number five, she turns 49 years old. She is an actress. I don't really know her except from the movie Thor Ragnarok. Let me see what else she's been in. She's been in Ocean's 8, The Lord of the Rings, Cinderella, Blonde.
Is that a movie or is she blonde?
No, she is blonde.
Okay.
That's my bad. The Curious Case of Benjamin Button.
Oh, yeah, she's the bad guy in Thor Ragnarok.
That's correct.
I can't think of her
that's
name.
That's correct.
Yeah. I can't think of her name. That's going to drive me insane.
Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah, three,
no.
two,
I don't know.
One. Cate Blanchett.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, moving on. Football player. He turns 32 years old today. He's a linebacker. He was in the movie Pitch Perfect 2.
Clay Matthews.
Yo!
Clay Matthews, yeah.
That's 4-1.
Now, wait a minute. Did he get credit for Cate Blanchett?
No.
No.
Yeah, what I missed.
No. So still, because it was 4-0 because you needed five straight to win, and then it was Cate Blanchett,
okay,
and then you just
four.
Got Clay Matthews. All right. Well, number whatever this is, six.
Seven.
This guy turns 33 years old today. Country singer. Sings the songs I'd Be Jealous Too, Red Dirt, Blue Eyes.
Jason Aldean?
No. Little Town Living, She Cranks My Tractor.
Dustin Lynch.
Correct.
I've never heard of that guy.
5-1.
It's tough.
All right, from now
I have to keep reading off
from
the
now
score.
Until I say so, it's now my show today. From now until I say so, each correct answer is worth 2 points.
Oh, okay. Oh,
I can go. Do what I want here.
Let's okay. go.
Tanner's not even listening. All right, here we go. Tanner's each one is now worth land. 2 points until I say so. The next person on the list, I think we only have two more. Wait, how many do you have? Six?
Five.
Yeah, each
so
one is worth two.
This would be 8-9, yeah. Got a chance to tie here.
All right. Pitcher. Dang it. This is a pitcher. He would have been 40 years old today. Tragic death, too young. Played for Philadelphia, I'm pretty sure.
Roy Halladay.
Correct.
Roy Halladay is dead?
He died
in a plane crash,
year?
Yeah.
Last
no,
year
2017.
Two? Yeah.
Yeah.
Died in a plane crash.
What?
Yeah.
Wow. Crazy.
Yeah.
How many do you have?
Six.
Six to one?
Philly's in the
No,
Blue
that
Jays.
Counts as two. It's seven. 7-1.
Oh, yikes.
Oh, yeah, we did that.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah, I know. I told you I'm not.
All right,
this
next
game.
One is worth 6 points.
Let's go.
Because I said so.
So you're saying there's a chance.
Sounds like it.
Last one.
Come on.
We're 6 points.
Come on.
This is like the game.
I've never had a 6-point question.
This is like the game Jackpot.
It really isn't.
Jackpot! This was worth 6 points alive.
Mystery box.
Last one. 35 years old today. American football player. Running back. Known for his time on the West Coast. I'm trying to make these vague.
Frank Gore?
Is it Frank Gore?
Let's go!
Is it really?
Let's go!
Frank Gore? I almost said Marshawn Lynch. Come on!
So is that 7-7?
Don't call it a comeback.
It's 7-7.
Good grief.
I'm sorry.
Cleanest win you'll
I'm
ever
sorry.
See. Or cleanest tie.
I'm sorry. I have just completely screwed Cole over. Oh, my gosh. I'm trying to see if there's another.
We got a tiebreaker?
You guys know who Zack Ryder is?
No.
Oh, I just said his name. Okay.
Zack Ryder
is true.
Correct.
Can we guess when his birthday is?
This day in history. All right. I'm going to do one of these. I'm going to do one of these. This day in history. I can't believe I just screwed you over like that. I'm really sorry.
That's okay.
Okay. Oh. Also on this day. This. Okay. In 1948, this state, but I. Okay. Well, no, you know what? I don't want to do that one.
Cole and I are
all right. You know what? I'm doing this my own rules. I'm doing this my own rules.
Okay.
I'm going to say the event. You're both going to give me the year you think it was. Whoever's closer wins.
Are we doing Price is Right rules? Or is it just years?
You know what? You're both going to say what you think at the exact same time.
Okay. Even better. Okay. Like it.
Do you understand?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm switching it up today. We're having some fun here.
It is.
It's lottery day.
Cole's
all right.
Having
here
fun.
We go.
He's not having fun.
This is the first American Olympiad opens in St. Louis, Missouri. The third Olympiad of the modern era and the first Olympic Games to be held in the United States opens in St. Louis, Missouri.
Oh, my God. I feel like I should know this, but I don't. Are you going to, like, count us down?
Yeah, so I'm going to count you down. It's going to be 3, 2, 1, and then you're both going to say it.
Okay,
what year you think it is.
Okay.
All right, you got 10 seconds, all right?
So just to be clear, this is
yes.
The third...
The third Olympiad of the modern era and the first Olympic Games to be held in the United States. What year was it? Say what you think it was.
Okay.
Cole, are you ready?
Count it. Sure.
All right. AJ, are you ready?
Yeah.
For all the marvels. This one's worth 100 points.
I'm like an idiot here.
100 points on the line right here. In 3, 2, 1.
1886.
1955.
1955, and what'd you say?
1886.
It was 1904. Therefore,
I am the smartest man alive.
I hate this game. I'm done
AJ
with this
wins.
Game.
Let's go.
AJ wins.
I'm done with this
Come
stupid
on.
Game.
We were in cahoots because of all the time Cole has beat me as well. We were in cahoots.
Suck it, Cole.
Yeah.
Suck it, nerd.
Yeah. Let's go to break. I'm done.
A playoff chances, or I guess it would just be a tournament. And in order to really get going in that series, you got to get going during this one game homestand here. So that's pretty much what's happening in the baseball world. Cole,
yeah,
what is happening in the article that you were telling us about a second ago?
Yeah, an interesting article released today from Connor O'Gara over at Saturday Down South. They do great work. Over there. He released an article earlier today entitled, What Happened the Last Time the SEC Didn't Have Any Coaching Turnover and Why History Could Repeat Itself?
Hello.
He starts by saying it's been 13 years since the SEC stayed this claim. Let's see. There were no surprising firings, no offseason scandals, and no inevitable departures. The offseason headlines that and all, but to find the SEC in the 13 years that followed were nowhere to be found from the end of 2005 to the start of 2006. So 2019, unless somebody gets fired, you know, in the next couple months, will be the first season since 2006, 13 years since each program in the SEC retains its coach. And, I kind of had a feeling it was a good bit, but 13 years, man. Like 06?
A while.
I was in middle school.
Yeah.
I was in middle school in 06. Just starting middle school. Something like that.
Yeah.
He goes on to say, what happened in the next 13 years was anything but calm. There was at least one new coach in the conference every season that followed the outlier that was 06, not including interim coaches. Here was the breakdown of head coaches change in the SEC from 06 to 19. Okay, they list the numbers here. I'll kind of give y'all a quick quiz.
Okay.
Let's
Tennessee
see.
Takes the lead, by the way.
That's a good point.
Let's go.
Let's see. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Let's see. There are five schools. It says that changed, which this doesn't really make any sense because one of them definitely is not true. But there are five schools that have only had one coach, apparently, from, let's see, the breakdown of head coach. I don't think this math is correct.
Mm.
But it says Alabama, one coach, of course, Saban. Mm. Next, Georgia with one, which, I mean, they had Mark Richt back in 06, and now they have Smart, so this math is
that
not
is
correct.
Incorrect, yeah.
LSU, they have Coach O, they had Miles, so that's – so maybe this is how many coaching changes since then? It's what I'm guessing. Okay.
Yeah.
So Alabama with one, Georgia with one, LSU with one, Mizzou with one, and South Carolina with one, with Spurrier going to Muschamp.
Yeah. Now that we're talking about it, I thought Saban took over in like 09 or something, didn't he? And this is 06?
Yes. Yeah. Florida has had three.
That's probably one coaching change.
Okay. Yeah. So one, two, three, four, five SEC schools with one coaching change since then. As AJ said, Tennessee leads the way with four.
Wow.
Hang the banner. Let's go.
Yeet.
Four. Yeah.
Hang the banner.
Let's see. Auburn had two. Kentucky had two. Mississippi State had two. Texas A&M had two. Both Missouri and A&M for 2012 on, just because that's obviously when they joined the conference.
Sure.
Arkansas, Florida, Ole Miss, and Vanderbilt, both with three. But, yes, your Tennessee Volunteers leading away the way with four coaching changes since 06. O'Gara goes on to say in the article, that's 29 head coaching changes in the SEC since the 2006 season started. Basically, it's an average of more than two changes per team during that stretch, which equals three different head coaches at each school over the course of 13 years. That's also an average of just north of two coaching moves made per offseason in the SEC. So why is this significant now? Well, a couple of reasons. Barring anything of Hughes Freeze-like craziness, let's see. The SEC will enter 2019 without a new head coach for the first time since 06. What you might not know is that what followed the quiet post-2005 season yielded arguably the most impressive stretch we've ever seen from a conference in the modern era of college football. Yep. And call me crazy, but there are parallels galore between then and now. And he's right. I mean, this article is huge, so I don't really have time to get into it. But he compares, let's see, he compares Urban Meyer at Florida to Les Miles at LSU, Richt at Georgia, Shula at Alabama, and then Tuberville at Auburn. Let's see. Started 05 at number 12. Preseason number 7 for Florida back then. That's really not that important. But there are a lot of parallels into what's happening now. I mean, Alabama is still dominant, but you look at Georgia, they're on their way up. Alabama was on their way up back in that day. So if you want to go read it, go give it a read.
Yeah.
Saturday Down South usually has pretty short articles, but for some reason, O'Gara wanted to just write a novel today. But I mean,
dissertation.
If you're interested in the ins and outs, especially of the SEC and not just college football, it's a good read. But yeah, first time in 13 years, SEC doesn't have a new coach.
Yeah, that is crazy. I'd love to know what the maybe you said this. I was trying to do some other research. What the other conferences are as well.
Yeah, I wonder.
I would love to know kind of what that is and how the SEC stacks up. Would you guys feel like, and I know that over the long term, they probably all do even up to relatively the same degree. Would you guys feel like the SEC has more or less turnovers than, you know, kind of the average of, you know, the other conferences?
I'd say more for sure. Maybe just because we pay attention a lot more, at least I do, to the SEC than the other conferences, but I mean, you look at last year, how many first season head coaches did we have? Of course, we had Pruitt at Tennessee, Mullen at Florida.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
The guy at Mississippi Morris. State.
Yeah.
Chad Morris.
Morris at Arkansas. Moorhead at Mississippi State. Matt Luke officially at Ole Miss. He was the interim before, so that's five. I believe there was one where I believe half of the conference had a new head coach. So, yeah, I'd say the SEC. I mean, we all know the SEC takes football a lot more serious than other conferences do. They can all argue that they do, but it's apparent by how much we pay, how much turnover there is, you know, the talent of coaching and players in the league. So, yeah, I think when you're that big of a business, there's going to be a lot of turnover. And, I mean, in the last 13 years, there has been 29 different coaches since 06. So almost 30 coaches for 14 teams.
So are we counting on average here? Because I feel like there's some turnover in the Big 12. There's just fewer teams.
Yeah.
Is that what we're talking about, I guess?
Yeah. There's turnover. I mean, there's big turnover in big-time college football in general. But I feel the SEC is probably, you know, they're firing somebody every season. I mean, it's 13 years since an SEC school hasn't fired somebody.
Yeah. I wonder if the Pac-12 has made it that long. I feel like everybody
they least... seem to hang on to their coaches a lot longer.
Oh, did I get them? I thought I got them. Yeah. I don't know.
I thought that was interesting. Yeah.
No, yeah. It's a good article. I like that.
But it's pretty lengthy, but go give it a read if you have about an hour.
Last thing before we cut out from John Reed on Twitter, the man himself. He found a video of Zion Williamson walking along the stage, and he patted one team's logo while he was up there.
Oh, don't say it.
It was the Hawks.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Conspiracy.
What does
not
it mean?
Not the conspiracy theory I wanted
what
to hear.
What does it mean?
We're 30 minutes away.
Can we get can we get one tankathon for the road?
Yeah.
Do it. It's all you.
Oh, I don't have it anymore.
Oh, well, here. I got it. You ready?
Yes.
Ready?
Who's the first pick?
It is Memphis. What?
Hey, for overtime, this has been Rick Butler, AJ Cook, Cole McCormick. Thanks for listening to us. We'll catch you tomorrow.